What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Hello, this is Chi.
This is Emilio.
And we're back on video, second week in a row. We don't have our new camera yet, but we're about a third of the way there. We're getting there. It's an expensive camera, but it's going to pay off big time. We're going to look magnificent.
Yeah, but the good thing is now we're with 30% less blurry face on Bobby. I think we at least did some adjustments. So
yeah. Two squirts of Windex, I think is what it was.
I feel like every single time
the camera.
We launch on Twitch, there's going to be something that's a little bit better than it was last time.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully. We don't have that lampshade that's falling on our faces right. anymore. So,
and hopefully our overlay is better than Between Two Ferns next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got a real basic setup this week, but we got something. We had nothing last week.
Yep. It's true.
Yeah, so that'll be happening. Thank you to the Patreons who are helping us make this happen. And any support is always appreciated. Can't wait till we get that camera. Let's talk about some games on the radar. So a game that I was very excited about, Sea of Thieves, that's entering closed beta this month.
Yep. So that's why I put it on there. I think after looking at it, we said that it looks like a TF2 on the open seas. They have pirate ship combat, but also maybe treasure on islands in between the ship combat. Mm-hmm. And you kind of like raid the islands. It's all mixed up. So something like this, I kind of feel, I hope that the levels are randomly generated. Because like if everybody always knows where the islands are, I don't know. We'll see what happens with it. But it looks fun. I mean, TF2 is good. Pirates are cool. If you mix them together correctly, it could be awesome.
I think this is going to be a lot of fun because I believe when you go to islands, there are shops and different areas where you can personalize and or improve your character on. So you're not just confined to the ship and constantly duking it out
right.
where it just feels like a perpetual death match. I feel like there might be a lot more with more surface area to explore. It could feel more like an open exploration slash combat floor as
like,
well.
Like maybe somebody could be better on land and then not as good on ship, right? Like their class, like say you had a raider or a buccaneer, maybe they're good for invading, but they're kind of shitty on the ship. But then on the ship, you could have like a deckhand or something that's really good on the ship.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what the class is. There's ladies, so it's not the sausage fest TF2 is.
So is TF2 the closest comparison you can make? Because I was thinking more of like Black Wake, but on land as well.
Well,
Black Wake is something I've never played, so I wouldn't know what the differences are.
Yeah, we played Black Wake.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. I played Black Wake. Am I thinking Black Frag? Oh my gosh.
I remember when you took command in Black Wake.
Pulled up my Asian card there.
Yeah.
No, Black Flag from Assassin's Creed. Gotcha. Sorry, that's what I was trying to say. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Black Wake. It's going to be like Black Wake, but with just so much more to explore and a lot more customization, I think.
I think it's way more PvP than... Well, we don't know. We should have read more. Well,
the beta is starting on the 24th of January, goes to the 29th, and let's see, it's available, will be accessible to eligible players who joined the Sea of Thieves Insider program before December 1st.
Ooh, sounds expensive.
Or anyone who's
and those who have pre-ordered
the game.
So how much are we talking when it comes to pre-order here?
Let's see.
This is going through Microsoft.
I'm going to guess. Hold on.
And you have to have pre-ordered the game at least 24 hours before the closed beta.
See, this is interesting because it's on Xbox One. That throws me off a little bit. If it was Windows 10 only, I would say $20. But
$20?
Yeah.
I'm going to go this is going through 40. The Windows Store. $40?
Yeah.
Okay. Release date is March 20th, official release date. But let's see. For the... Windows 10, pre-order now. Let's see how much. $60.
Oh, yes, my
holy
God.
Shit.
I'm saying it's got to be a full
value game.
Yeah, I mean, everything in the Windows Store is, the price is heightened.
Okay, so Black Wake, which was a maybe $20 game, or was it?
20, yep.
Yeah.
20,
and
exactly.
then TF2 is free.
That wasn't like alpha or beta. That was nowhere near completion, and that was like, this looks like a AAA game that they're trying to release.
Okay, I see. But the two top titles that we're comparing it to, a merger between Black Wake and TF2, one game is zero price tag and the other one is 20. And so it kind of makes it really hard to plunge in the full $60.
Bobby, are you going to
$60 bucks? No way. No way.
What's the last $60 game you bought, Bobby?
Wolfenstein 2, I want to say.
Chi?
$60 game? Destiny 2. That was like a nut. Oh, let's not get into it.
For me, I think it was Shadow of War. Did I pay full price? I think I did.
Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, good point from Bolt Action Jackson here. Rare has not had many hits. I mean, they did do Donkey Kong Country, which always puts them up there in my book, but yeah.
It's like saying one of those things like, oh, it was 20 years ago. None of those people are even there anymore. Right? It's just a name at this point. But Donkey Kong Country was such a good game that still the goodness resonates with that name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, either way, hopefully people are going to be able to stream it when Sea of Thieves hits closed beta. Well, it's closed beta. I don't know what the NDA is going to be on that. So we'll see. Maybe people will be streaming it and that'll give us a good idea what the game's actually going to be like. Next up, Innerspace. What's this?
So I was just looking at upcoming things and this one visually grabbed me.
Yeah, Innerspace is that movie where they shrink down Martin Short or was it Dennis Quaid?
This is a very different take. It's right there. Innerspace on Steam. It's very interesting. It reminded me of Abzu, but instead of being 2D, it reminded me of Abzu as in it's slow pace, kind of just like going through beautiful environments.
Pastel colors. Geometric. Mm-hmm.
But you're not swimming. Designs. You're flying through this planet. But here's the gimmick. The planets are inside out. So you're flying inside of an inside out planet. So you're not.
Oh, that's cool. It's like a snow globe in a way.
Yes, exactly. Well, kind of. So there's no horizon, right? Because you could fly around the planet. But if you're on the inside, you can only fly on the inside. So there's never a horizon. You just keep flying. I don't know what they said something about. They hint at God still being discoverable somewhere. So I think it's an exploration game. There's some flying mechanics. It has some of that pilot wings type, fly through the circle type stuff. It looks like some puzzles. Anyway, it looks like something chill to play very calmly to whatever, calm you down someday and maybe have a cup of tea.
It's definitely very visually appealing. And especially with an exploration game like this, looks like it even has large fiends. Roaming around as well.
Maybe that's what it is.
To be really any combat. But the thing about this game, I totally forgot what I was going to say.
Sorry. Maybe it's a boss fight game.
Who knows? Like Screensaver the game to me.
Screensaver the game?
Yeah. Hey, you bought Abzu, dude.
Did I? It was probably in a bundle. That was back in my bundle days.
But you liked it.
It crashed my computer for some weird reason. I was running it at a very high resolution, like one that my monitor supposedly couldn't handle. So maybe that was it. But yeah, I mean, it's a decent game.
I remember what I was going to say. This game looks like the inside of a Wonder Ball.
What's a Wonder Ball?
What's in a Wonder Ball?
Wonder.
What's in a Wonder Ball?
I have no idea.
Okay. What you're talking about. It's a Wonder Ball is kind of similar to that Christmas toy you bought. For Mila, it's a chocolate-covered ball. Oh. I mean, it's a chocolate
and it
ball.
Comes in segments?
It's hollow, and there's different candies inside.
Oh.
So it's kind of like, you know, you shake it up and all that stuff. So it's kind of like being inside of a Wonder Ball.
How does Chi know all these things we don't know? Obviously, every episode she brings something up.
It must be a generational thing.
It probably is.
But are we saying that Wonder Balls didn't exist in 1978?
I mean,
when I was born.
I don't know, man. Because
definitely early 90s stuff here.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of things.
There's definitely a lot of things. Okay, moving on.
I'm trying to I missed something in Twitch chat there, but I had to scroll up to find it. So I'm doing a lot of things right now.
I need show notes.
All right, there show notes.
It's all new to us, guys. We're working it out. We're going to make it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Apparently our donate button's broke, but
you didn't see anything.
Pay no attention to the man behind the
curtain. I need show notes.
I literally need show notes right now.
The show notes, dude. They were up for like 5 seconds.
Okay. But you're up. Okay. So Chad and I actually played a game together.
No way. Yeah. Fun.
We played a Star Conflict. I think he was in the mood for an MMO.
Star Conflict.
Yeah. It's like Star Wars, but like.
Star Conflict. It's like the knockoff brand of it.
But it's nothing like Star Wars. I mean, it's in space. It has to do with ship combat. It's a lot of dogfighting. It's like a dogfighting MMO. It's free. Don't download it. There was nothing fun about the combat. There was nothing compelling. The graphics are okay. The shooting's super lackluster. Maybe it was because I started off with the beginning blasters or whatever, mm-hmm. but it's just like, I knew even if I maxed myself out with the graphics and everything, it's just not for me. And it was riding the line between campy and serious. And when you do that, most of the time, it's not good. It's very rare that something can go between campy and like right now, we're watching the trailer or whatever, and it's just like spaceships picking up cows. There's no cows. There's no planetary combat. It has nothing to do with planets. You're just flying around.
When was this game? 2013?
Yeah, I guess so.
So it's both PvP and PvE. Yeah. How do you separate the two when it comes to just flying around?
Into PvE until you're level 5. So Chad had one game before me. So he leveled up one level. We were talking about this last week. He leveled up one level above me. And we couldn't team up anymore because we
really,
were, yeah. And I don't know if it's us because we're below level 5 or whatever, but it was super frustrating. Like,
it's because you're playing an MMO, and like, who needs to make new friends when you're playing an MMO? Yeah, I'm just kidding.
We couldn't even group up. Like, you cannot even group up to go do things. It was so stupid, and we couldn't figure out why. But I was also, it was at the end of a long day, so after about 20, 30 minutes of this, I was like, dude, I got to go to sleep. He's like, all right. And so can't recommend the free download.
What was the initial appeal to play this game? Was it something that may have reminded you of Everspace?
No, he wanted to play something. So I was like, okay. He had already had this in mind.
Okay.
So I said, okay.
Is it anything like EVE Online when it comes to like a spaceship only type of MMO?
Yeah, way shittier.
But way shittier.
Yeah, play EVE Online. You're way better off. Or if you're more into the graphics or something more, then Valkyrie would be the one, right? Is that the one everybody's playing?
Valkyrie was like the condensed version with VR.
Yeah, what's the... God damn it. What's this space exploration game that everybody's playing that's online?
Yeah, Robert Industries.
No, not that one. Star Citizen?
Star Citizen.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Oh,
there's
no?
There's another game out that people are playing. Aliens were just introduced.
You're talking about that one that Flying Hawaiian was playing, the one that everyone hated when it came out. Super hyped.
Let's just keep more questions than answers, folks.
Oh, my God. I'm glad I forgot about
that
game.
It's not Warframe, is it?
No, not Warframe.
Because that doesn't happen.
The one that everyone was disappointed in.
Nope, it's not that one either.
No Man's Sky, there we go.
Elite Dangerous, thank you very much.
Okay. No Man's Sky is not an MMO, though.
No, okay. But Elite Dangerous is online.
Okay.
I believe. Right. All right, we suck. Let's go.
Well, let me ask you this in regards to Star Conflict. How were the public encounters? How many other people were actually playing this game?
We didn't have any because you have to be level 5 in order to go online.
Oh, you didn't make it to that point.
Such an odd game to play together. Like, let's play an MMO. Like, that's not a game you pick up and play. Like, hey, let's check this out. You know,
what are you talking about?
I think he means from level 0 or whatever, like character creation and then jumping in, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just meeting. Such a long process.
Isn't that like the definition of reasons to play MMOs, though? Like, no, hey, let's play a game together. But
this is how people play MMOs. They get really into an MMO and then they group up with other people who play those MMOs. But if you're just sitting around saying like, hey, let's all check out an MMO together. I mean, unless you got about 10 hours, and that's kind of a waste of time.
Yeah, the starting process of an MMO is at least... I mean, you know, you want to pick your character, make him look cool. It's at least 2 hours with the download and everything. You know what I mean?
Okay. I understand what you mean because it does take a certain level of investment in order to really get the extent of what the game is meant to be.
Yeah.
When
on day 2, you can have tons of fun.
Sure.
Leveling up together. Mm-hmm. Day one's going to be rocky.
But I don't know. I remember in my WoW days, I would grind an alt character with another person and go from 0 to 60.
But you know the game. We're saying
that's
about
true.
A new one.
Yeah. That's true. Okay.
We were learning mechanics. I'm sure I could group with Chad. We just didn't know how to do it. He had a level 3 ship. I had a level 1 ship. And they didn't want to let us party.
All right.
Feedback is pretty positive on this game, but I don't know.
Maybe everything outside of the first 5 levels is good.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Okay. All right, what else we got? Star Wars Battlefront 2 Resurrection. Is this DLC?
No, kind of, but it was free. It is the continuation of the single player. So I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, but you initially start off as this like kind of SWAT team for the Empire. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you turn to the good side, the rebel side, eventually at the end of the conflict. There's no spoilers because nobody's fucking playing this but me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one, the Resurrection, is like 20 years later. And so you're like an old lady now, or older lady. But still kicking ass. You can still kill 50 stormtroopers, no problem. Doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And what the reason they had to do this and why this was set up this way, it was the death of the Empire on the first one, and then the initiation of the New Order on the new one. So this game fills in a lot of the gaps between the movies.
Okay.
Like, we really don't know what happened after the Empire died, I don't think. And the New Order, like, how did the New Order come to be?
Yeah.
And spoilers, they basically just robbed children from all these different planets and made them soldiers.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And that's what Finn is.
Underlyingly, that's what it kind of semi, like, that's revealed from watching the movies in a sense.
Yeah.
How these people are like trained into becoming stormtroopers.
Shows it, I guess. Or like, actually, like, this is going on right now while you're playing.
It's funny, I read that the DLC came out and that it was free. I have no idea if they initially were going to charge people for this DLC, but because of the fiasco, they decided to release it for free. And that's another thing that kind of irks me, too. It's because I know DLC comes, like for Mass Effect, I think they did the DLC very well because they had such a large, expansive single player game, and people who finished the games, and people who finished the games wanted more. They wanted their story to continue, but with a short single player experience like Battlefront 2, and then releasing DLC so shortly after, I know it's completely different time period, so that kind of makes sense. But at the same time, it's another reason. It could have been easily another money grab.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it was.
I'm trying to think if I would have been pissed off if I would have bought it. I would have paid like $5 happily. It's actually pretty well done.
Okay.
It's better than the first segment. Because the first one, I think, was trying to like, you play as Luke, and it just kind of, at a certain point, like, it's like you're playing, what's her name? Eden, her's her name. Yeah, that's the main character. I think it's Eden. You're playing, and then you're Luke, and it's weird. And then you're back to Eden. And I think the Luke part was just kind of like some fan service in the middle that just kind of just didn't make any sense. And then this one, you're just playing Eden the entire way through, and you meet her daughter because it's 20 years later. And I'm not saying it's emotional or anything, but there was a, hey, thanks, Cricket.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, man. There was a part where I caught the feels for a second, like just really quick. I mean, it's not a fucking deep game or anything, but there was a scene there where I was like, well, they did that really well. I mean, it is still EA and they still do things really well. It's just that whole greed thing that's fucking them up. So, I like if you have this game, play Resurrection. If you play through the first one and then you unlock things for your your online play. And of course the graphics are phenomenal. So,
and how much more time invested into the DLC did you put in order to get through it? I'm sorry.
Maybe 2 to 3 hours, maybe. So that a total
2 to 3 hours for the DLC.
Yeah. So I would say the total now, this is a guess. Cause I always keep it leaving running all the time. So this is a guess. I would say total, there might be 7 to 9 hours of content of single player now.
That's pretty
with
good.
With the DLC.
I like the idea of this being almost episodic, where they come out with DLC. It's another more single player content to work through the story. I almost like that better than coming out with just like a 15-hour game.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Interesting idea. Thanks to Mini Del Macho, first donation ever on DL Gaming, $5. Awesome. We're getting closer and closer. And Cricket, big bucks coming in with 20.
Thank Boom. You so much, guys.
Nice.
Thanks. Yeah, this equipment is expensive. Bobby has very humble brag taste of on.
If we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. Yeah. That's been my motto.
Bobby, do we need the gold rim on the camera? And he was like, he's like, bitch. You don't fuck around with silver.
Well, it's funny because the list of things that we need is endless. Every time Bobby's referencing anything that we need, it's like the list just grows and grows.
What
and
you want to get the G502? There's a G503 now.
It's like since we last bought this item.
You know what? When we talk hardware, we'll talk about me putting that in check, you know, because I had to get a new router. And anytime you get a new anything, you always want to upgrade. And it was very hard for me to show a little discipline. Cool. There and get just what I needed and not anything more, but we'll talk about that later.
If we were going to name years, Bobby's 2018 is the year of discipline, huh, Bobby?
It is. Right? I'm cutting back. Yeah, I'm changing it up, dude. There's been some changes.
What I don't know.
He's going hardcore. I overheard that he's on his last bottle of Soylent. So
I'm going to give him the rest of the
money. Well, no, last bottle of Soylent until I get my new shipment on the 18th. So I've got, what is today?
So 13th? That was poor planning.
He's
poor
got
discipline.
Well, last time I
got
3 days
of photosynthesizing.
This time I got 5 cases. So I think maybe next time I'll get 6 cases.
Wait, hold on. Are you on the subscribe?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. So yeah, they're coming in regularly. I'm thinking 6 cases is the magic number, but
cool.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, the reason I'm getting the new router, I'll talk about this right now, is I got a new internet service. So a couple weeks ago, my girlfriend in passing mentioned something called WebPass, and I just paid it no mind. I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. And then I had just been waiting for AT&T Fiber to be finished installing in my building. But then I looked into this WebPass thing, and what they do is in places like mine, and only in certain cities, San Diego, Miami, San Francisco, pretty much any city with a high gay population, apparently, they have this, and that's it. But in large buildings with a bunch of units where Ethernet is ran, you can get this thing called WebPass if they have the equipment set up on the roof. And it's supposedly gigabit Ethernet, and they charge you $60 a month for it. Or you can pay for the whole year, $550, which breaks down to like $45 a month. So I'm like, this is pretty good. I go online, I check reviews. There's obviously a lot of bad ones. There's good ones. Can't make much sense of it. And the installation, the guy just comes out, he does something, because in my building, like, it's set up like an office, basically. They have like a big room with all the networking equipment on each floor, and, you know, like an MDF and a BDF and all this shit. Networking people out there will know what I'm talking about, hopefully. But the guy comes in, he sets up one thing, he's like, boom, there you go, just plug your shit into the Ethernet drop right over there. And I'm like, okay, great. I plug it in. Everything's working. I test the speeds. I'm not expecting gigabit. Like, this is, I feel like back in the day, you can never really get what they told you. And then now, like with Cox Cable, which I used to have, is like, I better be getting exactly what I'm paying for, because I'm paying you guys $105 right. a yeah. month. So I did the year thing. I'm paying $45 a month. I'm getting the speeds realistically are about 800 down and 800 up. Which I'm happy with that. And I'm paying $45. What? Compare that to Cox Cable. I was paying $105 a month. I was getting 300 down and 30 up. So the what download's the great.
I've never even heard of this. Really, it's amazing.
The other thing that's weird is like ISPs, I thought were region locked. Like, I thought you had to go with these guys.
Exactly.
And that's it.
Yeah. Well,
that's
in
why
my
me
building,
and Time Warner are buddy-buddy.
But otherwise, you can get Cox Cable. You can get AT&T. Like, not many people have options like that. And this WebPass thing, they're trying to, you know, break into the market and
circumvent, it sounds like. This.
Yeah. Well, they're using, like, Google Fiber technology. Like, yeah. I think Google Fiber or Google bought them out. So, like,
how
the guy showed up in a
WebPass?
Google shirt. Well, my girlfriend told me about it. Then I looked into it, and
how
turns
weird
out,
that your girlfriend,
yeah,
the
I know,
first
right?
one to hear about this.
But it turns out that a lot of other people in my building are using this as well. Like for the longest time, for years. So I was like, holy shit, okay.
Because the way you said it, you're like, oh, my girlfriend said something about West Pass, and I'm like, shut up, bitch, and you backhanded her.
Like, no, no.
You don't know technology.
No, no. It's because Bobby did such a good job with getting her a Nest for Christmas that she wanted to return the favor. And she's like, you know what, honey? I did some research. I think you'd like a web pass.
Hey,
right?
Google web pass.
Well, it just sounded too good to be true. And so I figured I'd try it out for 2 months and I can cancel the service. Otherwise, I'm locked into the year plan. Mm-hmm. But I'll try it out for 2 months and see if it's consistent. Because as much as I did not like paying $105 a month for my internet, like it was reliable. I can think of one time in the last 5 years that it was down. So it, hopefully WebPass will be the same. Now the upload is really where I'm noticing the difference. The download, whatever. Like I did all the speed tests, but really the true download is going on Steam and downloading like Call of Duty 3, 50 gigs.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think it maxed out, you know, around 80 megabytes a second is what I'm downloading at, or no, around 100. I think I got up to, so, you know, that's pretty good, but the upload so
is insane.
Before I'm getting 30 up, I tested it out. I had some videos I had to put on my Google Drive, like 8.5 gigs worth. And I was like, you know what? I'll wait after the web pass is installed and I'll try it on that. So I tried it first on Cox Cable. It was going to take about 35, 40 minutes. WebPass gets installed, try it on that. On Wi-Fi, takes 2 minutes.
On Wi-Fi?
Yeah. And so real test. Real
WebPass sounds like my kind of guys.
It's pretty good,
but you gotta like live in a condo or a high rise or something like with a lot of units though. So it's not everywhere. So far, so good. The real test
was, how do you know if you qualify for this?
Your building has to have it, or you can talk to your HOA and try to get them to install it. Wow. So it's up to them.
That's amazing.
But the real test was Heroes of the Storm. I'm like, you know, shit's got to be good on Heroes of the Storm. Like if there's any, obviously the downloads are fast, but if there's any like spikes or something,
right, you'll know.
That's an issue. So I go up there and my ping on Western and Central servers, 2 milliseconds.
What the fuck?
Like single digit. Yeah. And it varies.
Hey,
you know,
Bobby, I know you don't do this a lot, but maybe you should write a review.
This is a humble brag. This is totally
I never write a review.
You should write a review, man. Like from,
well,
because
the
other people from like
away.
True gamers.
Give it 2 months and we'll see. We'll see.
And the other thing is, wow, I'm really surprised that you committed to a year before, like sight unseen. Like,
well, I mean,
that's a pre-purchase.
It was more than like 60% off.
No, I know what you would say.
Which is amazing.
But at least,
but even
pay full price for 1 month.
I can, if I go 2 months, if I cancel within 2 months, then they just charge me the $60 a month.
Oh,
I get all their money back.
So they already thought about what I'm thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Now, this doesn't work for some people who are only living temporarily in a spot. Like, you got to be sure, hey, I'm going to be here in a year if you sign up for the year. So for me, that's not a problem. But, you know, some of the reviews were like, can't take the service with you, can't transfer the service.
And even if you pay month to month, $60 is, for those speeds are insane.
Yeah.
I pay $80 for 20 up, and whenever I do a speed test, it's maybe 17.
What?
Gee, you're still in the same.
That's, whoa. Are you in a third world country? Do you have dial-up?
It's called Pacific Beach, dude.
Yeah.
The beach has terrible internet.
Yeah, it really does.
They do not have it. Well, at least you're not like sliding off of cliffs like the rest of California.
That's true.
Yeah, seeing that shit, that's crazy. So because I got this, I couldn't use my modem/router anymore and I had to get a new router. And of course, when I buy any new hardware, I spend like 2-3 hours on Amazon doing the research. And, once we get to hardware, I'll talk more about my purchase and my final decision in that. But yeah, so far so good with WebPass. We'll see if that continues. I'll keep you posted.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Saving a lot of money. And what's great too, what excites me so much is once I get a new phone and get Project Fi, I will be free from any cable and telephone company. No AT&T,
yes.
No Cox Cable, no Comcast, none of that shit. Like I'll be a free man. And that's a good feeling.
It's a good feeling.
Free and Fi.
But why are you waiting on the Fi thing? Just do it. Like your next bill will be cheaper.
Well, I can't get it on my phone. I got to get I want to get a Pixel 2. I'm just waiting for them to go on sale again. And I'm thinking when the Samsung S9 comes out, maybe they'll have another sale. So we'll see.
I don't think Project Fi does sales.
Not Project Fi. I'm talking about the Pixel 2.
No, yeah. Project Fi sells them. Or you can get it from the Google store.
Yeah, the Google store is what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They had a deal for like $75 off. I should have grabbed it then. But
word to the wise, buy yours through Project Fi. Because I think Sam bought hers through the Google store and I bought mine through Project Fi. Both of our Pixel 2s are fucking up. My Pixel 1 was perfect. Never had an issue with it.
Hmm.
There's issues. So they sent me a new one right away, like in 2 days.
Oh, wow.
Took me about 2 days on customer service. I mean, 2 hours on customer service. Just doing stupid stuff. And they sent me out a new one, like no problems. But since she bought hers on Google store, she's having more, like there's more runaround, it sounds like.
Yeah, red tape, just going through the return
just
process.
Red tape. And we're having the same issue too. I think the same component broke on both of ours.
Really?
Yeah.
No, that doesn't bode well.
And it sucks too, because I'm like praising the Pixel and I'm praising the Project Fi, and then now I get the second one. Again, just like fucking Star Wars, you should have learned on the first one.
I think cell phone problems are universal, regardless of what carrier and what cell phone you have.
Not this one. This is a goddamn American hero right here.
Is that a note?
My Galaxy Note 4 right here. This shit has been running 3 years.
It's like a pocket tank.
3 years.
It's like a pink.
Yeah, you could bat away some rapists with this.
Hanky panky phone.
This thing has lasted. It has gone the distance.
It's a pocket tank. It's a pink. It's a hanky pink. That's what you just said while you were going through
Is that the show title? A pink?
Pink.
Sorry.
Or hanky pink.
The things we have to say when talking over Bobby, right? Yeah. They really
it's
matter.
Be really good.
But usually isn't. All right. So that's my.
Damn. Nobody's in the live podcast, everybody's on Twitch.
Yeah,
I guess we saw
Twitch is the new hangout apparently. Yeah. Twitch.tv/digital_logic.
Maybe we should all start
way.
Streaming from there.
I am. Oh, I have been streaming actually.
I'm hosting.
I'm drunk already. I don't know if we mentioned our new.
No, we did not.
We changed the name. Yeah, well, I just did right then. Oh, we changed our name on Twitch. It's now twitch.tv/digital_logic. It's a mouthful, but it keeps in line with a lot of our other social media, Twitter.
Facebook.
And don't forget, it's logic spelt with a K.
Yeah.
Yes, across all boards, we are digital_logic with a K.
Yeah. Let's talk a little Streets of Rogue. We played a little bit of that today.
Yeah.
This game constantly is having these updates. It's getting better and better. I really like what's happening with it. So they have new levels. I didn't really notice any new heroes since the last time I played, but I really like that they're focusing on adding levels, and not only just more levels, but different levels. So we played through with our usual combo, the medic, the soldier, and we got to the fourth area. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
The fourth area downtown.
Really quick, let's just say why we do the medic and the soldier. So the medic is a pacifist, can't use guns, can't really attack besides fists and throwing like rocks and shit, like fists and rocks. And so I'm really good at like taking care of shit that is kind of easy. So that saves Bobby on his fucking bullets, which is constantly a problem. He runs as a soldier. He can just fucking lay waste to an entire level, or a quarter of a level, and then be out of bullets and be completely fucked. So we complement each other nice, because I can save him bullets by doing things, on the DL, and he can go loud. So and
it's kind of role reversal. Usually we take opposite roles. You're like the finesse. You know, you handle the situation delicately.
Yeah.
You chloroform the guys from behind. And,
yeah.
And then I come in loud when shit gets crazy.
Which is weird for me, because usually I chloroform ladies.
And then how many? Oh gosh. Better yet, babies. No, just kidding. How many classes are available in Streets of War Rogue?
16.
16.
Maybe?
Oh my goodness.
Just throwing it out.
Have you
Sounds
guys
right.
tried 18? Any other combinations outside of soldier medic?
The soldier is like, because Bobby doesn't put hours in. I just need him to like I want him to play with me. It's just so easy to pick up and play.
It works much better as a two-player game. Three or four, I think, would get a little messy, but two players is so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's awesome.
But there's crazy ones. There's like Zombie, where anybody you touch turns into a zombie if they die, but you're pretty fucking weak and everybody attacks you on sight. So you have to build up this army of zombies and use them to your advantage. There's the cannibal who's like really dumb, can't talk to anybody, nobody likes him, so they attack him on sight.
How about the gorilla class, right? There's a gorilla. Yeah,
gorilla
class?
Can't speak English.
Yeah. So I think you need to lower your mic a little bit.
He can't use.
You got to talk into the tip.
He can't use. He can't use computers. He can't speak English. He can't buy anything. But he's strong as fuck and can break down walls. So there's upsides to the gorilla as well. So anyway, there's all kinds of crazy ones. Vampire, fucking
the comedian,
comedian. Yeah. So there are no new classes, and Bobby mentioned that earlier. But what I did like is you can make your own classes now. And I made you guys.
Oh, that's neat. Oh, you made us?
Yep. So.
But quick question before you go into that. I'm sorry to distract you. Is there any way to like royally fuck yourself in this game? In a sense where you have two classes, no one could really talk to anybody, and you're just moving through.
There are ways where you dead end. There always being a way you can handle a situation.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like Deus Ex, the original one. It's like there's different ways to go about accomplishing your goal, and they do a pretty good job of allowing you to do that in various ways.
We should have recapped. It's a top-down, kind of like GTA style.
Like original GTA.
Original GTA, yeah. There's a lot of every single character, different interactions. The slum people, just like the pedestrians, will do completely different things than a police would, completely different thing than a thief would, and just on and on and on. The interactions between all these people, plus the technology like ventilation ducts, which you can poison, and it just goes on. There's so many intricacies. Spelunky had some like hinting of this, where there's so many things that can happen randomly. I fucking love roguelikes, and this is another one. So I built you guys. You guys ready for your stats?
Yes.
Let's do it.
So Digibot.
you picked the name, yeah.
I actually gave you Endurance 2, Speed 2, Melee 2, but Firearms 4, because you're one of the only people I know that owns a gun in California. Traits, vocally challenged, can't speak English. Just because you don't talk very much. nimble fingers. You're doing something. Oh, yeah. So you're very good at like typing things in and shit like that.
Are these attributes already predetermined and you just select them?
Some of them give you points. Like if you take something like clumsy, that would give you points, right?
Yeah.
But then if you took marksman, it would.
So you can take negative effects in exchange for positive effects, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Camera shy.
Camera shy, Bobby.
Yeah, so he's invisible to security. Tech expert, duh.
Awesome. That was easy.
Mm-hmm. And team building expert, here we all are.
Yeah, that's true.
Strengths, starting items, hacking tool, too. Yeah. So I think this is Chi. Oh. No, her name is China number one.
China number one.
Endurance 2, Speed 2, Melee 1, Firearms 1.
What? You don't think? What? So my attack is weak?
Oh, sorry. Okay. So
it's okay.
Traits, charismatic.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So I could talk to anybody.
And everybody likes you as soon as you walk into a room.
Could charm anyone in a room.
It's really strong, right. Actually.
Yeah.
clumsiness accepted. So people don't get angry when you break shit.
Oh, and that happens a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, just like while you were talking about this, I spilled coffee on the table.
Yeah.
And so I had to wipe it down.
serve drinks. Serve cocktails to anyone like it's your job or something. That's what the description is.
Really?
Yeah. And they like you more. You can just keep serving up drinks. So boom. Starting items, whiskey, and drink mixer.
Okay. There you go.
Okay. And I made one that we could all agree on. The podcaster. Why is this moving? This is so weird. Stop moving. Okay. Endurance 1, Speed 2, Melee 1, Firearms 1. Not an imposing force.
Okay.
A special ability, joke. tell a joke around a crowd of people and causing them to either like you or hate you more. So basically, it's kind of like a dice roll. Either the joke will work.
You're either a hit.
And everybody likes you.
Uh-huh.
And maybe of the people that like you, one of them will join you. Or like just follow you and be your slave. Or
comedian perks.
Everybody
right?
will hate you. And randomly, maybe one of them will attack you outright.
Wow.
Yeah. So it gets crazy.
That's just a fun ability. That would just be your...
So this is for the podcaster class.
This is the podcaster class.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Traits are loud. It makes noise whenever you move. See, that one gave me points to work with, right? Because it's like plus 2 points. Skinny nerdlinger. That means like he can get pushed around by anybody who hits him. Just because podcasters probably are. Poor hand-eye coordination. That sucks. All of this really sucked.
But it doesn't sound like a good class.
But here we go. No infighting. That means all the people that I like make my slaves, I can't hit them. There's no. It turns off friendly fire.
No friendly fire. Right. That's awesome.
Team building expert.
I've never heard it that way. Infighting?
Infighting.
Infighting.
Is that what they call it in the game?
Yeah.
I think, that's the term they use in the game. But it's friendly fire.
It's friendly fire. Team building expert. I can now have 3 slaves instead of 1.
Ooh.
And then charismatic, which is always great. Mm-hmm. And tech expert, because you got to get it on the internet, right? Starting items, boombox and cocaine.
Boombox and cocaine.
Yep. Sounds legit.
I got up to level 1.2.
What do we look like, though? I'm actually more interested in our little...
They're really lacking on there, so it's pretty...
Did you get to choose what we look like?
Like generic.
Did you get to pick what we look like, too, or just...
Yeah, that's China number 1.
Oh, okay. I look like a grandma.
And that's...
Bobby's hair is more luscious than mine.
It's a full head of hair.
Not a lot of options.
But what I really like about this game, I mean, it's
I didn't know I was competing with Bobby for...
In the hair department,
yeah. Well, sorry, continue.
When I don't have the gel in it, and it comes down, then it's pretty majestic.
But all right.
What I really like about this game, I'm glad we keep coming back to it and checking on it, because when we first played it, there just wasn't a whole lot to go off of. But the levels that they're adding, they demand different things from you. So we got to the new level, which is called Downtown. And it seems like the thing there is a bunch of cops and a bunch of mobsters. So charisma, I think, would be really important in that one, because we tried going loud, and that's worked through most of the stages that we went to. But to give you an example, what's the fourth level that where you as the medic, the park, and
terrible.
The medic is or the doctor is no good there. He's pretty much useless. So I have
everybody's hostile. Every single person's hostile. Yeah. Hostile. So like. It doesn't matter. I was just watching Bobby kill everything, basically.
So then we go downtown, and no one's hostile, but the minute a fight breaks out, everybody, like, it's a riot. Just way too many people to deal with. And I think it's impossible to shoot your way out of that. It was for me. Like, as much gunpowder as I had, there was no getting through it.
It might be, like, it's definitely a thinking level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you had to do a little more of the heavy lifting there, like, or maybe if we had someone who had more charisma, then we could have completed the objectives that way. But I like how each level is asking something different of you. And so that way you can't just choose soldier and then barrel your way through every single level.
And unfortunately, what happened to us is we're close to each other, but we're never like across the map from each other. And I was just like walking around, kind of exploring. I should have been more cautious. Manhole covers. People just jump out of manhole covers and just attack you.
Oh, fun.
And this one was a thief, and he took all my money. And I had tons of money. And he just ran off of my money.
You couldn't stop him?
I couldn't. It was super
He ran and got me, and then I'm like, where did he go?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm a pacifist. I'm a pacifist.
So you just let it happen.
I can't do anything.
Yeah.
Maybe tranquilize him. I didn't have my tranquilizer out because I hardly ever use it. So he ran off, and I was like, Bobby, somebody stole all my money. He's like, where? Who? What guy?
Yeah.
And I was like, it was a thief. And then another thief happened to show up, but it wasn't the one that we're... So Bobby shot at him, and the cops, the mobsters, the gorillas, everybody was pissed off that Bobby shot a gun, and it was just like fucking chaos. It's like,
Started shooting at us. They started shooting each other. Yeah.
How long did it take us to get to downtown, Bobby?
Not very long.
30 minutes?
Yeah, probably about half an hour.
Yeah, so I asked him, do you want to go again? He's like, no, fuck no. So I don't know.
I don't like roguelikes, man. I don't like doing this stuff all over again. But the and we've played the doctor soldier combo so many times. I feel like that's the tried and true one. But
we should try something else.
Yeah, we should. There's switch it up.
Combinations. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds 16, like a really
what
good time.
Is it 16 squared? Is that what the number would be? I don't know.
What's the most? The most number of players you've played together with in this game? Four.
Three. We tried three? Once with Crown okay. Lotion.
And Crown Lotion.
Crown Lotion. It's kind of like Spelunky again, where once you add enough players, it.
You have to have much,
because there's so many variables.
There's just a lot going on.
Yeah.
You got to communicate a lot more, and you got to be a lot more patient, and you have to make sure, okay, everyone's on board before we make this move. Like, there's a lot more.
Seems like a lot of fun. Hopefully I can play with you guys soon.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a good game.
The graphics are very low-key. Don't expect much.
Yeah. That's not the feature of this game. It's pixelated graphics. But $14.99 is the retail price of this. It's on sale quite often. So, you know, if there's ever a Steam sale, this is definitely one you want to pick up.
Gee, okay, you played awesome. They Are Billions?
Yes, the only game I got around to playing this week was They Are Billions. What's exciting is that I relaunched my stream, had an amazing re-debut. A lot of people from the DLG audience and also from my existing followers, a lot of familiar names and faces showed up just to say hello.
Your new stuff that you got, the hardware, the lighting and all that, like, did it all pay off? Are you very happy with your stream?
I am still constantly tweaking all little things. I am very happy with the lighting, but even then, nothing is perfected. When it comes to my stream currently, I feel like nothing is perfected, and I could spend hours and hours, you know, trying to make it perfect, but still want to adjust one thing the next time I stream, and one little thing here, one little thing there.
Is yours being very nice? Is that why ours?
No. It's like, trust me. I was
maybe like.
It's like we're gonna get there. It's like one little thing at a time, right? But no, even mine isn't extravagant. If anything, it's a step backwards from where my stream was before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Most definitely, yes. But it's perfectly fine because it's all gonna come together, and eventually, I'm gonna, you know, just give up on fucking with it. Regardless, let's talk about They Are Billions. I am so glad that you tried this out and played it when it went into depth with it last time with our last podcast, because I was watching other streamers play it and I knew I would like it. But with your more in-depth review of it, it was without saying I had to pick this up. So I picked it up at $24.99 full price and, started playing it, and I played it for 7 hours straight.
Damn.
So my first stream was 7 hours, and if I didn't have to stop gaming,
7 hours straight streaming.
Yeah, and I would have gone for another 7 hours if I didn't have to go to work. So I started my my stream at 1 o'clock, and then I worked at 9 p.m. and so I had to quit. I almost didn't, like, my chat had to remind me to go to work. So it's kind of funny. But with this game, I played about 7 hours, but I was moving really slow, because I was learning about pausing a lot, interacting with chat, and trying to really kind of gauge what everything meant. The first game that I played, I think I set it to easy. My percentage was at around 30% because you said you had everything on easy.
Yeah.
And I think I had it on easy and then 100 days.
Sure. Which is normal, I think.
Which is normal. Yeah. And I think I made it to day 26 the first day.
Okay.
And then I played again and my games ended quicker than my first game.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So maybe you made some poor assumptions.
I did.
Yeah.
And I think I'm on game 5 right now and on day 31, and I had to drop the game and go to work before I could see if I could make it.
Yeah.
I'm having a lot of fun with it. I see and understand where you say it's definitely challenging.
Yeah.
And what's great about it is that the terrain is different. Every single time you load up a game. So, like, sometimes you're lucky, sometimes you're unlucky, and that really affects how the game will turn out. So, regardless.
Right. How important is the terrain and the layout?
It's imperative that you explore and really come up with early strategies. I think one of my biggest weaknesses with this game is being too offensive. The first time I lost, I was destroying some zombie hut. It was like a town. I didn't know they had towns. Really?
Yeah. Bunch of loot in there, I guess.
Yeah, but no, they were like actual, it seemed like spawn points.
Oh, okay.
And it was little homes that I even saw like a Pudge come out.
Dang.
Have you seen that?
No.
I thought you beat the game.
No, we talked about it last week. I fucking made the day like 15.
Oh, I thought you said you wanted to make it to day 150 or something. But so I thought you already beat like day 100.
No. So do you just play through, get as far as you can, and then that's it when the game's over? Do you get any reward, anything that carries on to your next playthrough?
I don't think so.
Hopefully at least a Steam badge.
Yeah.
That's
Steam achievement.
I have such a hard time with games like that. I totally understand why people like that. You have to play it because the game is fun. But I don't know. I want something for my efforts. I feel
You don't like fun or challenge. Thus, HOTS. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Anyway. No. Okay, so the thing about They Are Billions too is one of my weaknesses I've realized after losing a couple of times is I don't like using the pause button as much. I know you said it was such a huge perk, and I understand that, but I feel like I get very impatient, and I'm not playing my rounds out as thoroughly as I should.
Yeah.
So I'm just letting time roll.
Wait, when you say rounds.
And trying and doing like, something. When I say rounds.
It's not Civ.
It's not, I know. It's not actual rounds.
Round, right? Yeah.
But.
Your days.
I'm not necessarily days, but what I would consider a round is the full using my full allocation of resources. And once I'm depleted on certain resources, unable to do any action, then I have to hit play, let a day ride out, a couple days ride out until I'm able to make my next, chess move in a sense. So, so my problem is I've been doing a lot of things real time and to my deficit as well. So, and not only that, placement of units has also been a huge downfall for
me. Like what I said, you have more experience at this point than I do. But so based on the terrain, you're going to have weak points and strong points.
Uh-huh.
You got to put your soldiers where, obviously, if there's a town to your north, you're going to put your soldiers north.
That fucked me over. There's a town right north of me, and I completely forgot about it. Because when you said procedurally generated, I did not believe that the game would do that to me. They literally put a zombie town right on top of my... Yeah. I know it's the command center. I almost called it a nexus, but it was...
That's what it is.
Yeah, right? And I could have saved myself if I had just remembered to put up a wall. I suck at putting up walls, walls will save you in this game. It's more defense tower than actual RTS, because...
If you put up a basic wall and just put a sniper tower behind it, that mm-hmm. one person can do, like, take care of most, like, small to... Small, medium,
yeah,
attacks.
Absolutely, and that's what it is, and that's what normally for each and every game that I lost because I let one or two zombies, break the line, or break the line and get into my town, and then once they take over a tent or a cottage, it's domino effect.
Yes,
and that's basically it. And I normally play RTSs very offensively, so it's kind of like resetting how I like to play strategy.
So you're saying we need to build a wall, because if you let one or two in, it's just going to ruin everything. That's what I'm getting.
That's basically what's happening. I think you should play this.
Trump with the jokes, like folks.
We need the wall, folks. You heard it
here. Oh gosh, you were making a political. Okay. That was a shithole joke.
I know.
I'm just kidding.
You think Mexicans come from a shithole?
No.
Oh, okay. Making sure.
This game, I feel like everyone's talking about this game. It's incredibly popular right now. $25, and it's in beta, right?
Yes, they're actively working on
it. It feels like a complete game, and mm-hmm. knowing that it's in beta, and knowing that there's more mm-hmm. that's going to be released for it, absolutely. I would love to play this game, and then the cool thing about it is that you can make it even more challenging.
Atricia says, make DLG great again.
Oh, gosh.
It's a great game. There's a reason everybody's talking about it.
It's a lot of fun, and it's a new experience every restart.
It's better than the last Flash in the Pan. What was that 2v2 arena game that we were playing.
Battle Right.
A 3v3. Mm-hmm. That was a flash in the pan. Just like Bobby called it, it was over in a month. Hey, thanks, Todd Monster. Fucking awesome, dude.
Oh, yeah. When you donate, you get to see, I don't know if we're going to keep that or not, but you get to see a dancing Asari. I was trying to find the one of Commander Shepard dancing because
I like that's the Asari hilarious. Better. Asari are really sexy.
Yeah, because Commander Shepard does that.
And then when you go to strip clubs
like,
in Mass Effect, it's only Asari on the platforms. Maybe some humans. If there are humans, I don't really notice them because I'm staring at all the Asari.
They're asexual, right? Asari? They're not men or women, and anybody can bang them. How sexy is that? All right, moving on.
But you know what I'm talking about with the Commander Shepard dance. Like, he's dancing just like every fucking guy at the club who doesn't dance and is just trying to, you know, be up there for the ladies. He's got the elbows out, and he's just kind of like, you know.
Oh, male Commander Shepard. I was thinking female.
Yeah, yeah.
Commander Shepard dances like a man, too. You're right.
It's the total man dance, like I'm just half-assing it
man
up
dance.
There.
Well, she is a commander, like, you know,
how high-ranking officials dance? That's what I want to know.
I would have finished that statement, except I just saw like Emilio spit up his whiskey.
I spit it out. I spilled it. Look at these lips. The whiskey spilling lips.
Yeah, whatever, Elmo.
All right.
All right. What else did we play? Ooh, I've been reading a book. So that one that Skydiver mentioned last week, Significant Zero, Heroes, Villains, and the Fight for Art and Soul in Video
Games.
You
read the entire book?
No, he's been reading.
Oh, okay.
Where do you like to read? How do you like to read, Bobby?
This one's on Audible. I mean, that's just where I get most time. I spend a lot of time driving. So, you know, this is replacing my podcast for a while. So I'm a little behind
on
my podcast. Work back.
What's your commute?
East
like,
County.
Bobby?
I don't know how many miles I put on there.
Time-wise?
Oh,
it should be 20 minutes.
Yeah, 20 minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
20 minutes. If I miss traffic.
Not that, like, so you're talking about 40 minutes.
40 minutes each way. You listen at 1.35 speed, and, you know, you can get through quite a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah,
so
I'm about
halfway through. Is that really reading, Bobby?
No, not quite. But in some books, it works better because...
That's a big debate. Like, really.
Yeah.
Like,
It absolutely isn't. Like, I totally feel like you should actually read books because there's something different that happens when you're... completely focused on reading. Like, that's more work for your brain, and it's exercising your brain, you're building your vocabulary, like all these things.
Reading is definitely healthier for you, for sure, generally.
Yeah, it's better.
Yeah.
Audible is great. A lot of times, you know, just the tone of the person reading it, sometimes the people who write the books actually read them. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can miss out. It's like listening to a radio play. So there's a lot of stuff you can get out, but it depends on the book. You know, some of them have more of a conversational feel to them, so it's better on audiobook.
World War Z is an amazing conversational audiobook.
Yeah, well, the abridged version. I don't know if I'd go for the unabridged
very
version.
Very quickly, so I thought I read this book, but maybe I am wrong. This is the one by... something Brooks, right? World War Z.
It's Max Brooks.
Max Brooks, right?
Yeah, that's what we're
and
talking
it's
about.
More like the one that I read was a guide on how to survive.
That's a different book he wrote.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's World War Z, a survival guide.
World War Z is
there's
basically
guide
a compilation of interviews.
Oh. That's one book.
Not
and
interviews.
World War Z is an entirely different
and that's
book.
A good book?
World War Z?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's better than the movie?
Oh, yeah. He walked out of the production of the movie because he didn't want to have anything.
God, The movie is, don't.
This entire time, I thought they were
cross-correlate the
two. They have nothing.
I'm like,
the movie,
read the survival.
I mean,
the
they have the same
pathetic.
Name, but the movie and the book have, like, nothing to do with each other.
Mm-mm.
Other than, like, there's some, like, minor detail that connects them.
I gotta read this book, then.
Yeah. No, it's a great book. The audiobook is great. Mark Hamill does some voices, all sorts of shit. But the other book that I'm talking about with the really, really long title is by Walt Williams, Significant Zero, Heroes, Villains, and the Fight for Art and Soul in Video Games. So I'm reading this book. There's a lot to it, and it's going to be hard for me to kind of collect my thoughts, but I'll take my best stab at it. So I'm halfway through it. This is kind of an autobiography of this guy who started working in the video games industry, maybe early 2000s. He is a year older than me, so his reference points are like my reference points. It's very easy to parallel with them, so I really enjoy that. Everything he talks about, I'm like, oh yeah, I totally remember that. It's really interesting to see his perspective on this, not as just someone who works in the industry, but someone who worked for a publisher for a long period of time, because we always demonize the publisher. We're always like, these assholes are just trying to make money. They're just, you know, obstructing the creative view of the developers. You know, that's a very easy thing to do to publishers. But, you know, seeing his side of the story, I see how publishers can actually contribute a lot creatively to the game, as well as funding the game and promoting it and all that mm-hmm. other stuff that a publisher does. They're basically like the producer in the movie industry. He's very well worded. He's a great writer. So obviously, you know, the book is good. And it just kind of chronicles his journey from starting as a game analyst, working on games like that Family Guy that nobody remembers except me, the Family Guy video game. he obviously wrote Spec Ops The Line, and that's kind of the part I'm at now. But he had a lot to do with Bioshock. He worked a lot on that. And hearing him talk almost reminds me of Chad in a way. Because, you know, as Chad said before he left, he used to work for Sony. And I could never really be like, you know, Chad, what do you do? Like, what do you do there? Because it's always like something yeah. different or very nebulous or very vague. And it's the same thing when Walt Williams is talking. It's just like you just get attached to projects and you're responsible for these things and you make this happen. It's just such a fluid process making games that it's really hard to nail down one job description.
But it's
for
so
a person.
Compartmentalized, right?
Yeah, that's another thing too. Like
I built
hearing
a
this
widget,
guy talk. Yeah,
they use that.
It takes so many people to make a game, so many people, like an incredible amount. And like some of these people never meet each other and like they're doing different parts. It's a good look into the process of it. And I'm just getting into the part where he's talking about how he wrote Spec Ops The Line. And it's good. I'm halfway through it. I'm sure the rest of it's going to be great. Highly recommend it. You can get it on Audible, Amazon.
Who does the wherever. Actual narration?
A different guy. It's not him.
Okay.
Someone else does.
Probably
like,
just a default mm-hmm. guy that you get.
Yeah.
So one of the things on that is like going to BlizzCon and like listening to the live panels when we're talking about who's the guy that is like the face of Overwatch.
Jeff Kaplan.
When he was talking about, I'm sorry. It wasn't Jeff Kaplan. It was a guy sitting next to him about starting. I don't know his name, but he's the one who started Hearthstone. And he was saying it was 14 people. When it went live, 14 people were, that's all that was involved. Mm-hmm. And maybe, it's weird. You never know.
Well, card game's very different, though. I mean,
no,
graphically.
I get it. Yeah. But when you have like 100 people or 200 people working on a game, Star Wars Battlefront, there's a lot of shit that can go wrong because you have 200 people on it. And then when you have a more focused – and the way he was – were you there for that part, Bobby? When he was talking about like –
I don't know if I was there for that part, but I did hear some of that.
We're like the redheaded stepchild. Like we were just like a side project. And mm-hmm. then we came out and we had these really good ideas. And like I feel like a lot of the times for me personally, When projects have less people involved, I almost always enjoy them more, almost exponentially. Like Binding of Isaac only had like 3 or 4 people mm-hmm. working on it.
Stardew, Larian
yeah.
Studios,
yeah.
a little bit smaller.
Larian Studios, probably 30, 20 on the first game, maybe 40 on the second game. Like I really mm-hmm. like that, and I enjoy it. That said, you can't get a crisis without 100 people. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
So it's
a triple A game is yeah. so expensive, and it's just mind boggling how many hours go into that game by so many different people.
And that's what's happening with Netflix. There's a cat outside. That's what's happening with Netflix is like they're circumventing the entire Hollywood system where like somebody comes up with a script and then somebody likes it and then they get a casting director and then they get that and then they start to film and they have a pilot and then 15 guys that went to Harvard put notes on that saying this is the way it's going to work. They don't know shit. And so the original concept that we're like 15 steps back was pure and funny and good or, you know, but then it gets diluted every single step you take. And then Netflix is just like, oh, you have a good idea? Do it. And that's why they're killing the game. Because the artists are going right to this. And that's why a lot of indie titles are really good. Because they're not getting affected.
There's a word that I'm thinking of too, considering Netflix's success. There's a lot of trash in like the sea of quality as well. So
a lot of other stuff.
And it's kind of funny because from playing Fractured Butthole, and the basis of that is these how Cartman and his crew, Coon and friends, are trying to become a Netflix series. And how it's funny because you know that episode, right? It's where basically you could call in and just say, I want to do a Netflix series. And then they're just approving anyone and anybody and throwing it in that pool. So, but outside of that, I mean, I feel like a smaller studio, like Netflix can get away with that. They can like throw out horrible series and movies. Mm-hmm. But as long as they have some superstars in there, you know, they're going to get all.
Well, have you guys noticed that Netflix is signing less and less, or they're losing the contracts for more and more older TV series like American Dad, no longer on Netflix anymore. And they're bringing in a lot more of their own content. This is something that was predicted.
Consolidating, dude.
Well, they,
all the big boys.
This is a better business model for them, obviously. Yeah, but
I mean, they're putting out better content. You don't need American Dad when you're putting out fucking Big Mouth. Did you watch Big Mouth?
Oh, yeah. Of course I watched Big Mouth. Right, like cool. Nick Kroll, Jason Mantzoukas.
We're done with highlights, yeah?
Yeah.
Let's take a break.
We're taking a break?
I gotta pee.
Okay. All right.
And we're back. All right. Let's talk a little news here. What's going on in the world of PC gaming?
So Overwatch League began. Did you guys watch any of it?
I did a little bit.
What did you
watch? I've got exciting news about that, too.
Sure.
Yes. I will be going to Overwatch League in Burbank at the Overwatch Arena this Saturday. Minnie Del Macho did me a kindness. He let me know that he's going and that tickets were selling fast. So he picked an extra, picked up an extra one for me. And so we're going to be heading that way this Saturday. As for watching Overwatch, I honestly am, I like competitive sports, but I don't go out of my way to watch esports usually. But since I am going to the arena, I did watch a couple of games, but only against two teams.
Okay. Which ones?
I watched London Spitfire.
Okay.
And then I also watched the Florida, I don't even remember their names.
Gators.
I almost called them Florida Gators, but that's the Florida team.
Yeah.
And London Spitfire, it's hilarious because they're all Korean boys.
Yeah.
Don't even speak English. So. But I love it because obviously these are people who are very talented and they're so cute. My K boys, they're very talented. They're great at the game, and they, of course, they found a way to find sponsorship, and found their way to America to compete. So, I'm like a lot of people are talking trash about that, but I support it. I support it.
Well, here's okay. There's a diatribe that I've been fighting for as long as I've known how sports works.
And
I hate that you can take people from not where you're from. Like, the San Diego team should be able to get people that live 200 miles around their stadium.
But if they're like, not the best of the best, would you really want to watch them?
I think it would be impossible to do that, though, to just have people from a specific area be able to play on a certain team.
Why?
Because people just aren't that good at the video game.
Exactly, but like, things would change.
Environment like, doesn't
concentrate
skill.
We're tired of fucking losing. Let's focus our kids on fucking whatever.
Okay, how long do they have to live in that area for them to compete from that?
5 years.
I've thought about this.
Yep. 200 miles. I've thought of that.
Five years, 200 miles.
Yep.
Okay.
I don't know, but when you consider other sports, I mean, NFL.
Yeah, they trade all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
so it's a network.
If it was a local
It's a
guy.
Network.
No, I get it. I get it. It's a larger debate. I'm going to stay out of
and,
that part.
Exaris in chat, let us know. It's Florida Mayhem. I'm sorry.
It's basically about how many Koreans you can get on your team is how good your team is.
Oh, come on.
No,
that is
it
not
really
the case.
Does. From what I saw, I watched the...
isn't that always the case with these sports?
Yeah. I saw the LA... Hold on. I'm going to get this. It's the LA... shit. Vanguard, I think, versus the San Francisco... Fuck, I don't know. I like what they're doing about the cities and the regions. I think that's really smart.
Uh-huh.
Like, you're obviously going to get
LA
around...
LA Valiant.
Yeah. Okay, there it is.
Yeah, and there's going to be some buy-in because people are going to root for the home team.
For the home team.
Yeah.
Other things that are weird... So, obviously, I'm going to just keep comparing to regular sports because... So, they're like... Let's go Valiant. Cha, 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 cha. The players can't hear that.
Of course
not. And also, like, the reason you make noise is to disrupt the other team. In regular sports.
Yeah, but this is esports. And it's funny.
So basically, you're just making noise for the sake of your own crowd, which is cool. I get it. But you're not actively participating in the game either. These are just points that I'm picking out versus regular sports. That's all.
I don't know. I mean, whether you're spectating at home, and I imagine I'm going to be all hyped out when I'm in the arena spectating as well, is that I was constantly commentating myself and the people that I was watching it with, I think Cricket and Gummy.
Oh, you watched
and
it Discord. Live?
Yeah, I watched it live.
Oh, I watched
it
live.
Yeah. Okay. So it's, you know, it's definitely a spectator sport, but it's not an actual, it's an e-sport. And in order for the competitors to be competitive and professional, they do need levels of discretion. Because if you've seen a lot of the MOBA competitions and the FPS competitions, like, they'll even put you in a noise box where you can't hear anything inside and or outside of it. And that's exactly what you need. You need that in order to support these players.
They
did
it on this one, though.
They did not, no.
No.
No, they did not.
I guess there's noise canceling.
And it's weird. Headphones. They have, you know what's really weird
about
watching?
It makes it more intimate, though.
You know what's weird about watching Overwatch esports, though? They have referees behind them. And I'm like,
check for cheating, I guess. That's what I was thinking.
Well, they're not only there for that, but any sort of technical issues. Like, if a player has a problem, they have to let them know right away. They pause the game.
Oh, okay. Like a legit one.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So they're not necessarily refereeing so much
for
cheating. I guess it would be really important that they're there for support.
Minnie texted me too, and he said, like, hey, the same deal, you know, tickets going fast, you want to go? And I kind of waffled on him for a bit. I was like, yeah, I'd have to move some stuff around. And then when I finally was like, yes, I should do this, they were all sold out. So wow. I totally missed the boat on that. I'm bummed. This place looks incredible. Like, the screenshots I pulled up here, and what really excites me the most out of this is this screenshot right here, and there's a few more like it, where it looks like you can get, you know, when you go to a baseball
VIP
game?
VIP lounge?
Yeah, like a VIP lounge or like a box seat. You know, when you go to a baseball game, you rent out one of those little rooms, they got a great view. Like, I would fucking love to do this for
you
just some
sort
of
event.
You know how
much that costs, dude?
At a baseball game? Oh, yeah, a ton of money. Yeah.
I was in box seats at the last 49ers game versus, I don't know who. Mm-hmm. But it was a $7,000 box.
Yeah, a couple grand. Baseball, they start at like $2,000.
Yeah,
here at Qualcomm. But
so I'm sure it's less here.
It should be significantly less. The reason being is, first off, our tickets were only $30. Our ticket was only $30.
$30 is good.
And when you watch the games live, or when you look at when they pan over to the audience, like, half of the seats are empty. What the hell?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Seats are empty for esports. I was actually really bummed out.
Their
I was
first
like,
year.
It's really
I
hard.
Understand it's their first
it's
year.
It's like that at all esport events, unless it's a major event like BlizzCon or something.
Okay.
Every time I've watched like esports,
I'm
where it's one of these random
shocked.
Things.
The commentators that I listened to also, they were not jiving. It almost sounded like they were irritating each other. All of this is going to get worked out, but this is their first foray into this.
That's true.
And there's so many things.
Yeah, Jeff Kaplan couldn't even make
it
until day two.
This is what's funny about what your observation about the VIP part is, like, the only thing that makes that VIP, it looks super sweet, but the only difference besides that and us sitting at home and watching it together with a bunch of friends is the proximity to the players. That would be the only difference.
My place isn't that nice.
What?
I mean, it's an event. You're going out. You're paying for the experience.
Right. But you're watching it on
a
screen.
You're absorbing
everyone
else's
see the players.
Enthusiasm. That's
you
what
see what I'm saying?
Like, I don't like sports, but I like live sports. Like, when I'm at the stadium, it's easy to get
everybody
like,
does.
Riled up.
I just went to a San Diego Gulls game. That's our
I would love to go.
So
where's
fun.
My invite?
No, I got a free ticket.
Yeah. Oh,
tickets
are
cheap.
Fun.
Yeah,
super
great.
No, they're not cheap. It's $45. Is that cheap? I don't know. It's all relative. Not for like a baller like me.
$40 is pretty cheap for a ticket. I mean, well, I don't know.
But it's not NHL, right?
It's not $30. I think that's the lowest price I've ever paid for any ticket.
For what?
$30.
Oh, for the...
Yeah. Even movies cost me $30.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But no,
so are they flying these Seoul teams and they're flying these British teams? The entire league happens in one arena. Is that right?
That's what I don't know. I don't know if they do all their games in the Burbank studio, which is only 2 hours from us too. So if they do any Heroes esports here, like I'm there, like whatever it is, like even if it's just like a couple matches,
make sure you invite me.
School day. Bobby.
Maybe I can move some things around. So Tuesday I can work out.
All of a sudden you can move things around. Wow. All
right. You know, priorities. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to watch a lot of this. I love the UI, the overlay, like just the whole sports tone of it. Like, I don't know. It's cool. I'm not super into Overwatch. Like I still enjoy it.
So I watched the VODs and I was still, you know, it's my first or second, like, as far as Overwatch VODs, this is maybe, I haven't watched a whole lot of it. So I get disoriented every once in a while because they're switching from third to fourth to overhead to back to third person. I'm just going over and over. And it's like, they'll be like, and blah, 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 picked up 2 kills, but it wasn't on cam.
It wasn't on cam at all.
At all. And you can't blame them because they don't know when somebody's going to make a great play. They can guess. So I was thinking maybe, what was it? Smite put out a VOD, but the VOD was a program. And the program you could play within Smite. And you could look at all the angles and dissect it. Screen, you remember this, Bobby?
You could be your own observer.
You could be your own observer. So I thought maybe the
VODs. Dota do that?
Dota does that.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
So I think maybe Overwatch should maybe implement this.
What do they call
it? And it's not the fault of the cameraman. How are you going to prevent? Mm-hmm. How are you going to, out of 12 players, how do you know that who's going to be the hero?
But even with those struggles, and I completely 100% agree with you. Overwatch is a really hard game to watch competitively. Mm-hmm. It's completely different from Counter-Strike or MOBA games where it's almost in, you know, a distance view or the first person locked in first person view. It's seamless transitioning one or the other. Mm-hmm. But with Overwatch, it could be very messy. Sometimes you're watching something and nothing's happening, and you're right, things are happening and you can't even see it. You only see the scoreboard or the kills on the scoreboard. But I think they did do a really good job of highlighting moments and replaying them back quickly. And that's like on the spot, you know, a really good moment will happen. They'll capture that highlight. And even while the game is live, but there's not much that's interestingly going on, they'll replay that highlight and be like, okay. And even, you know, dive in on the strategy. It's pretty cool.
The production value is very high.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining really about that. I'm just complaining about if it really is a complaint that I guess any other sport has X amount of years, whenever TV was invented to now, that's how many years of experience they have. And so are just like nitpicky things that obviously they can't write out of the box. But I think they're going to get there for sure. They're going to find out which casters are better. Because I watched another game, they had different casters and I liked them better. But the ones that I watched between, thank you, whoever that is, Zaris. Thank you, LA Valiant versus the SF Shock. That's what I watched the entire series. Those announcers didn't mesh well. They were both good at what they do, but these are all things that are going to be worked out. Are you guys going to watch Overwatch esports independently of anything cool going on? Like, not championships. Are you guys going to watch the league?
Overwatch, no. I mean, I have enough trouble keeping up with HGC, so Overwatch is just going to be too much. Occasionally, I'll catch a game here or there. Mini Del Macho had a great idea that we put into action. There is now an Esports Lounge voice channel in our Discord. So if you're watching esports, that's, you know, it's always better just to hang out with other people who are watching it as well, comment on it.
That's on our Discord, which you can find through our dlgaming.net.
DLGaming.net.
Yep. Has everything. Just two clicks.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Mini Del Macho, hopefully you can join us next week too, so we can both post experience, describe how the arena was and all the games. And hopefully maybe Bobby gets lucky and we end up getting to bring him with too.
All right. Let's hope.
Just going to sneak you in. It's so easy to sneak into Blizzard events. But you didn't hear that from me. I've never paid for a Blizzard event. Well, except for this one.
Criminal.
Maybe.
So CES also happened. And, I mean, there's really no... we'll go down the hardware list of things that I found interesting. But did you guys hear about the power going off?
Yeah, I heard a couple hours, right? Or an hour?
Where?
Just imagine that. So the entire show floor, the power just went out. Everything just went black. How insane is that?
That is hilarious. Yeah. The irony.
I bet a lot of the people thought that it was maybe like a gimmick because there was several fake booths. Have you guys heard about this?
I heard Netflix.
Netflix had a fake booth about Altered Carbon, which is their...
Why you had a false alarm?
Is their... sci-fi show that's coming out. Mm-hmm. So it's about cloning, I guess, because they had a fake cloning booth. So I don't know how much real attention it got, because obviously it had to look fake, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at some of the hardware. So the first thing I saw is a Razer mouse that is wireless but doesn't use any batteries. And the way that that you charge this mouse is through the mouse pad.
Oh, that's neat.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and apparently the link I have is not bringing it up, but it looks like just about any other Razer mouse that you would have used. I'm always impressed.
I figured they were going
innovation.
To do something like that eventually, being that cell phones are already on that level.
Yeah, I mean, you can charge. It's not very fast. I've used the wireless charging before. It works. It's not fast.
Here's my problem, though. Everybody keeps, well, I don't know, I guess the bleeding edge thinking that lighter is better. So taking out the battery makes it much lighter.
I love heavier mice.
You know, you can always make stuff heavier.
There are a lot of mice that have weights, most of the Logitech mice.
But obviously, this is like an extreme move to make your mouse pad charge your mouse just to save weight. Or maybe, I guess there's no docking station either, right? You never have to charge
it. Well, I'm sure they have, like, as a backup, they have some sort of charging cable that you can use with it. But just for most of the time, assuming there is no problem, you just leave it on the mouse pad and it charges up, which seems pretty cool. Also, new HTC Vive Pro. So they're finally coming out with the second versions of some of the VR out here. This one has built-in headset, better resolution, and wireless.
Yeah.
Which all things I think the Vive definitely needed. I wonder what the price is going to be.
And a couple of side notes too. It's colored now. It's like light blue or dark blue. It looks way better than just like, and it's a minor thing. Obviously people aren't going to watch you fucking in VR, but also it has a camera on the front. So I think it can tell when you're about to hit a wall and really give you a solid warning that don't walk into this wall.
Yeah. That would be helpful.
Yeah.
All right, some of the other stuff, the Blade Shadow Gaming PC subscription service. Now, GeForce or NVIDIA had their own version of this. So let's see. This is basically renting a high-end gaming rig. You use whatever computer you have, but you're buying, just like if you were buying like a server somewhere, like you're buying a high-end gaming rig that does all the processing on their end, and then you just get the display back on you.
Basically, they're counting on internet.
Mm-hmm. You got to have a good internet connectivity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And internet's so fast these days that you can probably handle this. So this is great for, I know we all know Shadow Master hanging out in Discord, always talking about building that computer. I don't know if it's going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't think so, because he keeps buying little games.
Yeah.
I got to pee.
Okay. But he's got a laptop. If you have a laptop and you pay $35 a month, all of a sudden, boom, you saved yourself thousands of dollars of building a high-end machine. Not only that, you don't have to deal with any technical issues. That's the real key here.
I wonder how seamless everything is in regards to remote playing. I think this is very clever, and this will hopefully become mainstream enough where people who can't afford that step into PC gaming, and honestly, that's what the barrier is when it comes to PC Master Race. We're all elitist because it takes a certain level of investment money, you know, like the initial onboarding of PC gaming, it's all that money and that's invested. And there are so many people out there that won't take that plunge, don't know how they might like PC gaming. So this might be a really good introductory into PC gaming. I know a million people I can halfway convince into becoming a PC gamer, just not having the setup for it. So if anything, this is going to be amazing for the community and hopefully bringing more people into it.
Yeah. I mean, it could encourage people to join PC gaming if this is something that's holding them back. But I just see it as a matter of convenience. NVIDIA has their own version of it called GeForce Now. So maybe this is a trend that we're going to start seeing. They've tried it in the past before, and it hasn't worked out. I don't know what the reasons are. We even had OnLive. OnLive was a gaming service that you subscribed to, and you were able to play games remotely, and the processing was done on their end, I believe. So it's been tried before and it hasn't really worked that well, but I don't know. I feel like we're entering an age where people are more used to the cloud and having everything like done, not locally on their right. computer. So we might be a little more accepting of it now.
So you're on the HyperX now?
Yeah. HyperX headset. Okay. I don't know. I don't get excited about headsets, but the reason I brought this up is because I haven't had a gaming headset in years, and I always badmouth them. I always say they're trash, get yourself some real equipment. But I don't know, maybe they've made some leaps and bounds. This is HyperX's first wireless one, I believe. What's it called here? First wireless headphones. Yeah, I'll pull it up. These things are out of nowhere. Yeah, they're going to the wrong ones.
But how do you know? So the winner of I believe it was PC Gamer that did the winner of. You know, they rank the things for gamers at CES, and gee, you're distracting. And the winner was, at least for them, was the new NVIDIA screens. Mm-hmm. You're not bringing this up?
I mean, the NVIDIA screens are cool, but at the end of the day, they're just big monitors.
No, they're not, dude.
What's so amazing about them?
They have everything integrated into them. So they have NVIDIA Shield, they have G-Sync, they have Alexa and or Google Home, they have basically everything that's available. I can't even name or think of one thing.
So they're like, it's like a smart TV,
but a smart monitor. Yeah,
but it has everything in there.
It's almost a computer, honestly. I mean, do something.
I'm sorry, I'm so uncomfortable, it's hard.
What do you need? Pillows?
No, nothing. Okay. I need you to leave me alone. Let me adjust over here. We're not on a couch anymore, you know?
Yeah, we actually have to record like real podcasters now. It's tough. Sometimes at my place, I would look over and Amelia would just be like...
Yeah, super stumped.
It's so true.
The mic was like laying on...
Why you got to stick your belly out when you're doing an impression of me, dude?
Yeah. We are sitting on IKEA chairs right now, so... down on that never-ending list of upgrades.
Well, I'm gonna get some chairs. I'm going to get some free chairs for us.
Yeah, one of these days. That's way, way down on the list. But yeah, I did see the NVIDIA screens, and to me, they just looked like large displays. I mean, they had a lot of the bells and whistles, but none of that stuff that I really look for. It seemed like something that would appeal more to a gamer, like to pull a console gamer. Yeah, not gamer, but a console gamer.
They're 4K, and they have 120 refresh rate, which has never been done, and at least on, like, they're not commonly... Anyway, it's 54 inches.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're looking
for... It's a thing, and it got several awards, dude. Something's going on.
54
inches? No, it's great. I mean, I was more impressed with NVIDIA's actually...
I'm sorry.
What?
54 inches for a monitor?
Yeah. For a gaming monitor.
Yeah, see, why? This is if you're on the couch playing with a controller and your friends.
They're trying to guess what the next thing is. No. Oh.
You're going to sit in front of a 55-inch monitor and play your games.
It's all about distance, right?
I've used a big screen TV.
It doesn't matter how far you are.
And how big is this TV up here?
It's excessive.
I've gamed on a 42-inch monitor before, and I had to push it really far back, and it wasn't that great. Like it's good, but I don't know. We've had the debate before. I don't go for size on monitors. 24 inches is like the competitive version. I think I use 27 inches and I'm happy with that. But if you watch my stream, you can see my eyes like move around. Like I have to go a distance, check the mini map, check this, check
that. You're watching your own streams there, Bobby?
Well, no, you have to monitor yourself up there in the window. But I've noticed that I move my eyes a lot. Like there's a lot of landscape that I have to move my eyes in order to see things. So I think the whole big display thing is great if you're in a group playing with controllers and stuff. But as far as like a personal gaming experience, single player, I don't know. I don't get excited. But that's just my preference as a PC gamer.
It was really well reviewed and maybe got more awards than anything else. Okay.
Well, Epic says they're great, especially for living room gaming. Yes. Living room gaming, this is what you want.
This is maybe what we need for the podcast, yeah.
But that's, for me, I've done living room gaming and it's, I mean, like makeshift living room gaming where I put a little table in front of me and even brought out my computer chair because I did not want to sit on the couch. But it's so important to, of course, it could be comfy sitting on a couch using a controller, but to have a monitor and probably at the price point that it's going to be set at.
You're talking like,
I wouldn't want to change up my living room just so I can use a fancy giant monitor.
I just don't see a need for this for myself, but I do see how this is a very big technical innovation. Also Epic mentions that the response time on this, I mean, when I look at response times in a monitor, I'm looking for like 2 milliseconds. But he says the average TV has 50 to 80 milliseconds. And that's something I notice if I play games on a TV. So, you know, if I took gaming more seriously on my TV, then that would absolutely be something I'm looking for. But when I'm playing games on my TV, it's like, you know, it's something with the controller. It's co-op. It's we're having fun. No big deal.
This is like a giant smart monitor.
It's like a giant monitor. Because what's the biggest
but
like
smart.
Gaming?
You got to add the smart because it has everything integrated. You wouldn't even need a Google Home because you had this monitor. That's another step. Like you have to. There's things here that you're like. I don't think you're acknowledging. They're putting everything all in one.
Yeah, but they've been doing that with TVs forever. I mean, maybe not Google Home. I'm sure more TVs will have that. But, you know, they've been putting Roku, Apple TV, not Apple TV.
NVIDIA Experience is in there, obviously.
Who uses, well, NVIDIA Experience, but who uses ShadowPlay, though? I mean, you can hook ShadowPlay up to anything.
All right, Bobby. when have you been, when I say things, you end up liking them. I'm just saying.
I don't know. This is just not something that I would ever use. It's gaming in the living room, PC gaming in the living room. And that's been a hard thing to break into. All right?
I don't think that's what they're going for. I think they want people playing first person shooters on this.
They want someone with a mouse and keyboard and a 55-inch monitor.
Yes, that's the way that they had their demo displayed. They did not have couch co-op set up. They had somebody at, okay. So any screen at the proper distance is the exact same thing. So your 24-inch screen at the right distance is the exact same thing, correct?
Mm-hmm. So why are you spending all this money just to put your screen really far back?
Because it's 4K at 124 megahertz.
Not just the monitor.
And it's good for watching TV.
Not just the monitor, but also like your living room. Like who's going to have a convenient desk in front of your couch? That's
what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't think that this is wants to take over your living room. It wouldn't be 46 inches or whatever it is, 45, whatever. It wouldn't be that if that's what they were going for. The market is, they think that they're making a leap here. That
no, I think, and I agree that
giant monitors is good for right in front of you. Like that's what they're going for. Single player games at a slight distance, not across the room.
I've done that, actually.
For a first-person shooter, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, it was... The only time I've ever done that was, I think for some reason, my monitor had crapped out, and so I took my big-screen TV, I put it on my desk, and I was playing Elder Scrolls on it. But it felt like I was just playing Elder Scrolls with the TV, like, way too close to my face. It was more or less, like...
But had you moved it back, it would have been the same experience. This is what I'm saying. When you guys are talking about size, it all depends on how far you are. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about how much of your viewing, distance or, your overall sight, how much is it being used? It doesn't matter. It's all about how close or far you are to it. So I think what they're pushing is not so close, but giant monitors. So you just move back and you have all these things. Maybe they couldn't add all these bells and whistles in a small, a 24 inch. That probably makes sense. They probably need a bunch more components to add all these different computer components inside of there. So they made a big thing and they're like, we'll just make people sit back.
I think the point of this that we keep missing and that chat is trying to point out here is that there's no large scale gaming monitors. They don't exist. You see like 30 inch, maybe they go up a little higher.
Squadron
is saying 42 inches is the biggest that you can currently get right now. So this is 65 inches. Like this is a step up. This
I'm
does
pretty
not
sure
exist
there's an
before.
Audience for it.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure
dudes
there will be.
Wanting something bigger and better.
Always. Yeah. Let's see how it plays out. I don't even think we're arguing here.
Well,
I
this
just
is the
think
lady
we're all
who doesn't mind keeping things small.
Wow.
Just kidding.
Congratulations, Max.
No. Hey, no, not
oh,
even.
Oh, I thought that's what
Let's
you
not
saying.
Go there because it's actually the opposite. Okay.
Woo. Yeah, Max.
what's
Max
the price
for
tag?
Maximum.
Stop. I'm talking about monitors.
Oh.
God. All right. See if Max lets Chi come back next week. All right. Price tag on what is this? The NVIDIA... 65-inch monitor. I want to know how much this thing costs.
Nobody knows. They said we'll they be in line prices. With leading monitors, I believe.
Okay.
All right. So let's fill this in with a bunch of hums and who. Oh, okay, never mind.
So, all right. So that's
CES. For us.
I mean, not a bad showing.
I'm so fucking shocked that you didn't even put it on the list, but I didn't do it either. But I saw CES, so I thought you had
I don't know. I put the stuff that I thought was interesting.
Yeah, but you're a jerk, though.
The big monitors, I'm just like, eh, okay.
Listener feedback.
Got something else here.
Okay, sorry.
Slow your roll. Right. We earlier in the show, wait, hold up. Okay. Someone's guessing over $3,000 for that monitor.
Yeah,
pass.
So. Sounds about right. So I mentioned that I got my new internet service, and because of that, I needed to get a new router. So I spent a bunch of time online shopping around for a good router. So, you know, a long, long time ago, I used to work tech support for D-Link and had a really good knowledge of a lot of routers and, you know, everything that goes into them. It's been a while since I've actually looked into it. And when you're shopping for a router, there's different... This is going to be a little Bobby Gets Hard segment here. I'm going to talk a little technical stuff when it comes to routers. So when you're shopping for a router, you have your different frequencies that they operate on. A, B, G, and N is the most popular one these days on a 2.4 gigahertz band. Now they have AC, which operates on 5 gigahertz. 5 gigahertz cannot travel as far or penetrate walls as well, but it is a lot faster. So it's great for streaming multimedia.
And your place, right?
Yeah. So on my personal one before, I never even used the 2.4 gigahertz band. My place is so small that 5 gigahertz worked for everything. Plus, you have to have new devices that connect to it. So like my phone supported the 5 gigahertz AC connection. My TV did. My Nest does. So, you know, everything's good. So you'll see a lot of routers that have AC in the title. And then a number comes after that. My old router was AC 1900. And so what this is the bandwidth. That's saying 1.9 gigabits a second or 1900 megabits a second. But that's a little misleading because it's actually a combination of your 2.4 gigahertz band and your 5 gigahertz band. So AC 1900 means that you get 600 megabits download speed, which it's theoretical. You usually end up getting only half of that, really. But 600 down on your 2.4, 1.3 gigabits down on your 5 gigahertz. You guys, you getting all this?
We're glazing over here.
So I'm just explaining a bunch of numbers. But basically, the bigger, the better. So obviously, I got to get a new wireless router because I have a modem / router. That's not going to work. I want to upgrade, but honestly, I really don't need to. I don't have a lot of area to cover, and I don't use... I have a lot of devices, but I'm just one person and I only use one of those at one time. I'm on my computer and I'm not using like a laptop and streaming stuff from there. I'm not
your
on
girlfriend's
the TV.
Not sitting on the couch watching Netflix
she
as you're doing
over.
Stuff.
No.
She's a computer.
No, she never comes program. Over to my place. We always stay at her place just because parking
is?
And it's easier.
She's a computer programmer?
Your program. Yeah. I'm like,
programmer or program.
I'm like, wait a second. If she was a computer, she doesn't come over to his house
because he has to go to a holodeck to see her.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Got to boot her up on CD-ROM.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Black Mirror, episode 1, season 4.
Wow.
Anyway, so I wanted to get something bigger and better, and I'm looking up stats and benchmarks and all this shit, but ultimately I ended up settling on the ASUS RT-AC68U. So it's an ASUS router that is AC1900, just like my old modem/router. And the thing I really liked about this, first of all, I don't need more bandwidth.
Why'd you change yours in the first place? Is that a brick?
No, no. The old one's a modem/router. It's okay. Not a wireless router. It won't work. Doesn't have a WAN port without some tinkering. And so it's just better that I do this. So I got this new router for, first of all, it was really all I needed. But second of all, it's got a feature that is phenomenal. It's got an LED button on the back. You press it, all the lights on the front turn off, which is perfect. I hate having LEDs. You know, I live in a studio, so, you know, anything I have.
That little LEDs off of a router could bother you, like the blinking lights?
Oh, yeah. If you're trying to sleep, you got all these blinking lights and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Gee, when you're autistic, you feel lights way louder.
Oh, gosh. You feel lights way louder.
Yeah. I mean, I look out my window and I got the whole city there, so that's keeping me up anyway.
That's true.
The less lights, the better. You know, I don't like all the flashy stuff. So I was really excited that it had that feature, and it worked out pretty well.
I think Bobby's waiting for the first, like, light that blinks black.
A black light?
Ooh.
Not an actual black light, because black light, it's, what is it? It's like UV something. It's,
yeah.
But it's not, I'm joking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
It's okay. Now what?
If it's
what
not white, joke, it's though? Black in your studio.
Can you explain it? I'm just joking.
It's the opposite of light. So yeah, it's working out pretty well. It's my first experience with an ASUS router. I've used them all. Netgear, D-Link, Linksys, all that shit. And it's pretty nice. They've got a very weird interface for the router. It's got all these little gimmicky features that I'm never going to use. Like you can plug a USB device in there, like a hard drive, and then share that over your network. I've seen those before, never used.
Might be good for an office or something.
Yeah, or if you have a large house and you have, like, it replaces a network-attached storage, basically. Yeah.
I can imagine that feature would confuse the fuck out of an older generation person or a not-as-tech-savvy person.
Wi-Fi in general confuses the fuck out of
them. Where it's like, the lights aren't on. This thing isn't working. Oh, fix it.
Yeah, you should see me at work trying to explain to people what the cloud is.
My mom was 83. She's 83. And this last trip home, I had to explain what the cloud was, which is cool, you know. I explained that. And then also, like, she's like, why wouldn't it be on Wi-Fi? And I was like, imagine coffee, Mom. You can get it everywhere, but you have to ask for it. Like,
yeah,
everywhere you go, it's there almost, but you just have to ask for a cup of coffee. It's kind of like, well, something she could understand.
If I could put it into a simple sentence, the cloud, it would be, it's like a folder that you put all of your information or your files, whatever you want in there. And as long as you're connected to the internet and signed in, you can access that info. That's the cloud.
It's kind of like video games did this for a long time where you would have those shared treasure boxes. You could put it in and then become another character and then take it out.
Oh, yeah.
You guys know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like a cloud box, I guess.
It's really difficult to explain that kind of stuff to people who don't have, like, the basic understanding of those types of things. And what I've learned is that analogies will dig you deeper into a hole. I try to avoid analogies at all times whenever I'm trying to explain this stuff. What I really focus on, and I've been doing this, like, my whole life, trying to explain shit to people about computers that have really basic understanding. But the thing that I've found that's most effective is just tell them what it does for them. What does it do for you?
Oh,
like, okay, the cloud, it backs your stuff up and you can access it anywhere.
Let's say, hypothetically speaking, you find yourself in a situation.
That would have confused the hell out of my mom, what you just said, Bob. Huh? I'm just saying. She's 83, though. That's not what you're dealing with. Oh. You're dealing with, like, 45, yeah?
All age groups.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, what's hard to understand about that? It backs your stuff up and you can access it wherever you are. Like, that's pretty simple.
I'm confused. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on.
All right. So what else we got? Listener feedback. All right, let's get into it.
Last week, again, this game keeps coming up because I loved it so much, but I always forget the name of it. It's the grid-based strategy game that goes into a 3.5 game that you fight afterwards. It's called Unholy War. Way ahead of its time. Graphics dog shit, but goddamn did we have fun with this game. But if somebody could do this, like make it more up to date, it would be fantastic. Somebody would knock it out of the park, especially with like indie/ 8-bit graphics. Anyway, Bobby, read the rest of them. I'm drunk. Please.
Type is very small there. All right. Coming from Warconius, we got a hypothetical here. So you're texting while driving drunk and wreck your car. Good news, your insurance is going to replace it with the video game vehicle of your choice. Which one do you pick as your new real life ride? So vehicle from a video game, which one's it going to be?
I really like and nobody liked this vehicle. Everybody hated it. God damn it. The name, I forget the name, but it's from, Mass Effect 2.
Oh, the Moon Rover.
Ew, Mako.
The Mako is awesome.
Ah, ew.
So good.
Mako. Yeah,
it jumps, right? Am I right? It jumps and it goes over terrain. It's fucking awesome. I liked it, Mako.
I don't know. I'm just going to have to go with the Warthog from Halo.
That was my least favorite part.
Nothing handles like that. You flip it over, you just flip it right back up. You're good to go.
Can you repeat that? I totally talked over you.
Oh, the Warthog from Halo?
Halo. That's a good answer. Me, I don't really, I'm not so much of a vehicle girl. Like, I'm very modest.
But you need to get to work, Chi.
What
would you take to church? To work.
What if I don't want a car? What if
you can take
anything
you want.
I can have that's been in a video game, that's been written,
runner-up was...
I would take... There's two. I would probably take a Yoshi.
Oh.
Yoshi.
Yeah, I would ride Yoshi. Or... Yeah, I would ride a Yoshi. Like if my insurance would give me a video game vehicle, give me a Yoshi.
If I could get Pharah's like flying suit from Overwatch.
Oh, that's pretty badass.
That'd be fucking awesome. Awesome.
Or, yeah.
Awesome.
That'd be cool, too.
No emotion.
No, I'm reading this and trying to segue.
Yeah.
Okay, next question, also from Warconius. Question for the podcast. Let's test your indie game knowledge. Ooh, this is going to be bad.
Yeah.
A certain popular YouTube panel of gaming experts could only recognize one of the games in the IGF list of grand prize finalists. So my question is, how many of these games are you familiar with and who should win and why? So first up, I'll just read off the games here. And as I read them, just tell me yes or no. Have you guys heard of them? Sumis McNally?
Nope.
Sounds familiar, but no. Getting Over It with Bennett Foddy.
I brought that one up.
Yeah, we talked about
it. And we saw the video on it.
Yep. Night in the Woods, Infinite Fall.
Nope.
No.
West of Loathing. This is actually on my wish list.
So yeah. You've researched it a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like a good game. Looks like it might be fun. I mean, if it makes it on my wish list, that says something. Into the Breach. Not ringing a bell. Subset Game sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does. Into the Breach, maybe somebody brought it up.
Subset Game sounds really familiar, that developer. Heat Signature.
Nope.
No clue. Baba Is You.
That sounds familiar too, but I don't know.
Yeah, no.
So the winner is actually Getting Over with Bennett Foddy, because we all, at least it made our radar, right?
Yeah. So wait, the only ones that we knew, well, I knew Getting Over It and also West of Loathing. West of Loathing, I don't know. If I had to take a guess, that's probably be the one I'd enjoy most out of all those. Bennett Foddy just seems like a meme. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Last one coming from Epic Tryhard Face says, started playing Watch Dogs 2, and it reminded me of the really good opening sequence to the first Watch Dogs game, where you make your way through the Chicago baseball stadium as you hack its lights and security, and everyone starts freaking out. What games had memorable opening sequences for you guys, maybe even more memorable than the rest of the game? Now, that's a good question. So memorable sequences. First, before we answer this question, I just want to mention that Watch Dogs came up at work randomly. Maybe it was Watch Dogs 2. I haven't played either of those games. I've heard good things. But whenever like a teacher runs into a student talking about a game, like the teacher always comes to me to like, do you know this game? Do you know what they're talking about? Like, I'm always like the...
video game guy.
Yeah, the resident video game dude that answers. You know, I'm the mediator between... I communicate between the kids and the teachers. I try to mediate that. But apparently the kid was talking about like pushy pork bun sellers in Watch Dogs. Apparently there's some really pushy pork bun sellers haggling on the streets of Watch Dogs or Watch Dogs 2. I don't know. I thought that was funny.
That's like anywhere you go when it's a third world country. There's a lot of street peddlers. Mm-hmm. And like
some of that best food.
Guilt. Like the guilt really builds up when you see these people like hustling. They're like, oh, buy my little...
Or my baby will die.
Zero guilt for those people.
But wait, their food is amazing. Yeah, by the way, any country, right, any like, country I've ever been to... The street food is the best food.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, all those little carts are the best food. And any you ever go anywhere, just don't think about...
you just don't think about what it does to you on the inside, though.
And sanitarily, like, don't think about those things, and you will have a great, fantastic thing.
But memorable video game openings. You know, first of all, the opening that he describes, you're walking through a baseball stadium and you hack different things. Wasn't there... There was another game that I played where you're walking through a stadium...
Yeah, it's Duke Nukem Forever. You have a fight on the
at the beginning. But no,
that's
this
an opening.
This is like, well, yeah, an opening sequence. The one that I'm talking about though was further into the game. It was a...
Well, you think about that.
I think
that,
it was Call of Duty.
I'm going to go with it's a cop out here, but Half-Life 2 with the whole train sequence, and there's certain reasons here. It's setting the mood. Like, first of all, you're seeing things you've never seen before. And then the music also helps you there. And then there's the lady talking about just like this just being another day at work. Meanwhile, while you're watching extraordinary things fly by you. It kind of like it's almost like a teaser of what's to come while you're going through this thing. Because you're like, wow, this is all the great and wonderful and different and like a fantasy land. And nothing's like this. And then it all goes to shit. And now you're playing through a destroyed wasteland of that fantasy land that you just went through that was all working perfectly. But now it's like a dystopian version of what you just went through. So, like, and it's been used so many times since then. Like, I've played so many games that do that whole you're arriving thing. And plus, they're playing their credits, which seems to be important to them. But it didn't disturb. Like, it wasn't in the way. It didn't just make you sit through credits. It was done maybe the best I've ever seen. Like, in a subtle way. I wasn't blown away. But as far as setting the mood and then not knowing what you're going to expect, but at least knowing a version of what you're going to expect was done super well. And that's why we've seen it ever since then, I think.
Awesome. How about you, Papi?
Best opening sequence of a game. You know what's funny is I could answer this easily for movies, but for a game, I can't really think of one. I mean, Duke Nukem comes to mind when you're on the football field and they immediately give you the rocket launchers and you destroy that giant monster. And a lot of games do that. They'll start you off overpowered and have you run through some level where you defeat like some giant boss. And then they reset you back to zero and you got to work your way up. Sometimes in games, that's like, you know, even in like Destiny 2, don't you start out with like more abilities or something? I don't know, but I really can't think of one.
I'm sorry, guys. Okay. I meant Half-Life 1.
Yeah. Half-Life Did you say 2. Half-Life 2?
Yes, I have Half-Life 2.
Oh, well, I heard Half-Life 1 because that's like train sequence. Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Well, Half-Life 2 had a good one too. They had the G-Man moments in your face talking, and then you go through that whole like
and
dystopian society.
You were
society.
In a train anyways. Yeah. In Half-Life 2.
They're like processing you, and then all of a sudden, boom, there's Barney in disguise. Yeah. So, I mean, that had a great opening as well.
And then since I can't steal Amelia's answer, you're going to like my answer. I'm going to go with the first opening scene of God of War 1. You're in a bed with two whores.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just tits out. And the first thing you could do is just interact with the whores and have sex with them. That was a very memorable experience for, like, my 13-year-old version self. So.
Perfect. I love the answer.
I think a lot of the games that are more cinematic, like the Call of Duty games, they probably have better opening sequences. Yeah, God, I wish I could think of one. I'll think about that question answered next week. All right. I think that's about it.
Is that a game? Is that a podcast?
That's a wrap. So what's next week looking like for everybody?
Does it matter? Because we never stick to it, except for Bobby.
I did this
hots.
Week. If you listen to the last podcast, and
oh yeah, that's true.
I said I'd come back to Twitch and
boom,
they are billions. I did it. A+.
And you liked it. I'm so glad you liked it.
Well, it's good to have a plan, even if you don't follow through with it.
Yeah.
You just got to aim, like, you know, what do you think you're going to be playing? There's nothing really coming out or anything that excites me.
Yeah.
Possibly they are billions.
They are billions for me. Some more of that and some Shadow of War. I was looking at how much. So I have a 500 gigabyte hard drive or SSD. And anybody want to take a guess of how much Shadow of War takes up of that?
Shadow of War?
Yeah.
Destiny takes up like 80.
Okay. Does anybody want to guess? This is
with the high-res texture packs.
Oh,
yeah. I'm going to say 70.
Gee, do you have a guess? I'm being like, obviously,
124.
It's 105.
Oh.
Wow.
105 or 105.
Wait, who gets to spend the wheel of fortune?
Nobody. I don't have one handy.
Jeez.
No, so I got to get that off my hard drive, but I like that game and I just haven't got.
And it's not the Wheel of Fortune. I'm sorry. I'm thinking The Price is Right. What is that wheel called?
Is it a wheel?
And The Price of Right at the end?
Yeah.
You know how you have to guess a certain price and then you get to like run down into like from the audience?
Yeah.
I got all the songs wrong.
Yeah.
Damn.
Bobby?
That is a lot of hard drive space. I am probably going to keep playing some more Heroes of the Storm and Darkest Dungeon. I've been playing so much Darkest Dungeon, and it's challenging again. The DLC and the Crimson Curse is totally fucking me up. Like, it's making this game hard again.
Are you curious at all about...
I love that DLC will, you know, add more challenge to the game. Because normally, once you beat a game or once you get to a certain point, like,
nothing's
challenging anymore.
And switch it up, right? It's not just the same old, like, you have to think differently.
And, yeah, and you know what they've done that I really like is... when you go into the Crimson Court area to kill like one of these bosses, they don't give you the whole map out there. Like, you have to go in there and you have to find your own way. So it feels like an old school RPG where you're navigating through this dungeon that's just completely unknown. And then you can exit that and you have to wait until you earn another invitation. Then you can go back in, continue your journey. So after a while, I realized this place is fucking huge. And I just looked it up online and it was even bigger than I thought. I was like, holy shit. Like, if I would have just tried to figure this out myself, I would have been here forever.
Oh, man.
But killing this boss is the only way that I can cure the Crimson Curse. And, like, four of my guys got it. And you just got to keep giving them blood, and it kind of satiates them, but they have some debuffs.
That reminds me of, like, Demon's Souls, where there were certain elements that need to happen in the game, like puzzle solving, that unless I read the strategy guide, there was no way it was going to progress during a certain point or get something that was pivotal to me completing the game. And... in terms of games I'll be playing, I can't wait for this podcast to end so I could go home and play more They Are Billions.
Yeah.
I'm going to be hooked on that game for a while, guys. And I was thinking about this, too, since you brought that up, looking up certain ways to get to a certain point. I feel like with They Are Billions, it's challenging because I'm not giving myself any leverage. Normally when I play MOBA games, normally when I play online competitive games, I will look up different strategies, see what people are doing, and kind of inherit it as my own, even though I didn't actually discover it as my own, but that way improve my gameplay. With They Are Billions, since it's strictly PvE, I'm absolutely no rush to get better immediately, and I'm going to have a lot of fun learning the hard way, and hopefully... we'll see if we can actually beat the game, between you and I, Emilio.
But I'm going to be playing on easy.
For Bobby to...
You're a better RTS player. I will give you that.
Oh, yeah. No, on the current game that I'm now, I'm back at 100%. So challenging. I'm on day 31 so far, paused.
Dang.
We'll see.
Cool. So, is that a wrap?
That's a wrap.
Speaking for Bobby, Chi, and myself... there are billions of titties. Bye-bye, everybody.
Good night.